Our next guest knows a thing or two about good seasons. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's a multiple Stanley Cup winner. Also is a fantastic lacrosse player. And he will be in Edmonton at the end of the month for the Alzheimer's Face-Off Tournament. Joe Neuwendijk joins us. Joe, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on, Joe. Well, last night they closed down Rexall. You had a lot of great battles in there as a member of the Dallas Stars. More success than failures. What do you remember of that old barn?
Well, just, you know, I certainly remember the rivalry between the two franchises. Back in that day, it was such a great rivalry. I know all the fans got into it, and they still talk about those days. I remember the mayors of each city got into it. Every time we got our schedule in those days, we always circled the games that we had to play in Edmonton. So it was a great rivalry.
Joe, we were talking about building winners, and you won a Stanley Cup in two different organizations, which is a rare feat. Not a lot of players do that. You were a young guy in Calgary, of course, and then a little bit more of a veteran in Dallas when you were traded there from Calgary, and it worked out to win. Give me your thoughts on how different those teams were when it came to building up to getting to that championship.
Well, when I joined the team in Dallas, I was, both Gary and I were young guys. We had a lot of great leaders there, but it was always a challenge trying to get over the hump against that Edmonton team. They had such a great team with all the players that they had. And, you know, we didn't face them on our Stanley Cup run going when we won it in 89. They got knocked out. So it kind of paved the way for us. But great group of veteran guys. As I said, we're young guys. When I got traded to Dallas, it was really a unique situation. Like, as you said, I was one of the older guys. And to watch that grow and build in predominantly a football town was really special. To ultimately win, we stole a little of the Cowboys thunder. But it was a great experience, too. Two really great experiences of my playing career.
Looking back on your career, Joe, and I ask you these career questions because, you know, a lot of the people that you're likely being a Hall of Famer are going to be one of the first draft picks on Friday night, the 29th at the Westin for the Alzheimer's Face-Off Tournament, and share some great stories. Do you have a funny Ken Hitchcock story as your time in Dallas?
Oh, man, there's so many to speak of. You know, we had a lot of fun with him. He was our coach for 6.5, 7 years, and I know he has a lot of history in Edmonton, but we had such a great group of veteran guys that always used to, kind of have fun with him. I remember Mike Keane, you know, we all know that Hitch was a little bit oversized, especially back in his Edmonton days. Mike Keane used to put all the pucks just inside the entranceway, stepping onto the ice every day at practice, so Hitch would have to shuffle them around because he couldn't step over them, and just stuff like that. There was always something going on. My favorite story was, though, when we lost in Los Angeles, and the next, after the game, we had to stay overnight and then practice in L.A. And so, of course, Hitch never liked to lose any game, so he told us he wasn't happy with us. If that's the way we're going to play, we'd practice ourselves. So what he didn't realize was he left his track pants and his track suit in the locker room. And Mike Keane, we stuffed him full of towels and we put baby powder in his hair. And he came out and ran practice exactly the way Hitch would have. But it was quite comical.
Was it an upbeat practice for the boys, I'm guessing, then?
Yeah, and Hitch was riding the bike talking to the media in the crowd. And then when they saw Mike Keane come out dressed exactly like Hitch, it kind of broke the ice a little bit. But, man, we had a lot of fun with it.
Now, did Hitch have a pretty good sense of humor over that, or did you guys pay for that at the next practice?
No, he had a great sense of humor. And you know what? That was the greatest thing about Hitch is that he had some battles with some players, but the next day it was water under the bridge. And the best example of that is Brett Hull. Him and they were like oil and water. They used to fight every day on the bench, screaming at each other. But the next day, they'd be in having coffee together, talking about the power play. So that was kind of the unique way that Hitch was able to relate with all the players.
Now, your first Stanley Cup winning coach, Terry Crisp, was a fiery guy. How did you? And you were a younger player then, so I'm sure maybe that changed your relationship specifically with the coach. What was your relationship with Terry Crisp at that point, being a young guy on the team? I think, your second year when you won, and you'd scored 51 goals as a rookie the previous year.
Yeah, it was a great relationship. We got along fine. he was a great coach for us at that time too. Again, we had a veteran group with Lanny kind of being the elder statesman, and Jim Poplinski and Timmy Hunter and those guys. But Crispy was good to me as a young player. He gave me an opportunity to stand in front of the net on a terrific power play with Suter and McGinnis on the point. You know, I had to earn my stripes there. I was only about 185 pounds back in those days, my first 3 or 4 years in the league. And I had to take a few beatings in front of the net, even from some of my cousin Bookaboom and Steve Smith out there in Edmonton. But I enjoyed scoring goals. I enjoyed tipping pucks. And Crispy gave me that opportunity to stand in front of the net there.
Joe Nieuwendyk joins us. He will be in town April 29th, 30th, and May 1st for the Alzheimer's Face-Off Charity Tournament. Will be played this year at Terwilliger Rec Center. Joe, you came in as a rookie to score 51 goals, which is, you know, phenomenal rookie season. You look back on that year. How were you able to jump in? You had played, of course, I think on the Canadian national team for a brief moment the year before, and I think you did have eight or some games after you graduated from Cornell. But that first season, how were you able to understand and succeed in the NHL so quickly?
Well, I think that was the key. Those 9 games that you mentioned where I joined the team at the end of the 86-87 season, and to get those 9 games under my belt, to kind of get to know the players a little bit, what the pace of play looked like, was very beneficial for me going into my first full season as a rookie. And I felt comfortable right away from the get-go, and things just kind of worked. I had a great group of veterans around me that helped me. It helped having my good best friend Gary Roberts there the whole time. So the transition from college to the pros was relatively smooth. Although the biggest challenge was just the demands of it. I played, I think, 22 games my last year of college, and then played over 100 games with exhibition and playoffs the following year. So that was the biggest challenge.
Did you reach or hit the wall at some point that season?
Yeah, I think I did. But, you know, luckily for me, the Flames management and the coaches recognized that and gave me, specifically just me, days off. Didn't probably sit well with some of the other guys, but, you know, maybe they knew I needed it, and it seemed to work out fine. I did hit a little bit of a lull towards the end of the season, you know, other than that, it was a very memorable year for me.
Joe Nieuwendyk joins us. And, Joe, your first 2 years in 87 and 88, of course, the Edmonton Oilers were a top team in the National Hockey League, and maybe kind of, you know, nearing the end of, I know they won after you won in 1989. They won in 1990 without Wayne Gretzky. But what was your first impression on the rivalry between the Oilers and the Flames? Who welcomed you to the rivalry?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a blur now looking back so long, but I think I was introduced to it right away. It didn't take long when you go up there to Edmonton, or they came down to our building, you could sense a little bit of more anxiety with our veteran players, and you could sense it within the city, the people in the city. And as I mentioned, I recall even the mayors at that time, you know, threatening to wear the other team's jersey if they won and things like that. It was just a real special time. I don't think there's ever been quite a rivalry like it. And I know teams in New York and Long Island would argue that. But to me, it was intense playoff, physical hockey at its best. And it was so much fun to be a part of.
Joe, outside of being a Hall of Fame hockey player, you were an excellent lacrosse player. How did it transfer and help you into being a hockey player?
Well, I always said that, especially early in my career, just the hand-eye coordination and the physical aspect of it, I really think one sport helped me with the other. And that hand-eye coordination, I really attribute it to lacrosse, all the pucks I was able to tip. You know, it certainly helped when you have a Hall of Famer like Al firing them at you. Everybody knew his reputation of his slap shot, but what they didn't know was he was so accurate. He was always looking for me in front of the net, and when he wound up, it was a bit of a parting of the Red Seas, and he could find me a little bit easier.
With your brother-in-law being Derek Keenan, of course, the head coach of the Edmonton Rush, now in Saskatchewan, do you still follow lacrosse?
Oh, I sure do. He's had great success. I know they were, you know, they won it with the Rush last year, and they've moved to Saskatoon. They're currently sitting in first place again. So we talk quite often. We come from a lacrosse family, and my brother-in-law was a tremendous player and now a coach. And it's been a lot of fun to watch that.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I know fans are looking forward to a lot of the players and likely see you get drafted. Probably, I would think, maybe even first overall when you got a Hall of Famer coming in on the 29th and the 30th. Wayne McBean, though, has put out a challenge. He's hoping to go in the top five. He's bribing those to draft him that he'll send him because he's an alumni with Arizona, that if he gets drafted in the top five, he's inviting the whichever team drafts him down to Arizona in a suite for a game and to play against the Arizona alumni. So you'll have some competition on draft night.
Well, I look forward to it. I know there's quite a list of players there, so if I can go in the top 10, I'd be happy.
Yeah, well, I'd be stunned if you're not in the top three, Joe. I appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you again on the 29th.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Looking forward to it.